We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, and we're in the studios of 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. So thank you for tuning in today. We do want to remind you of our Thanksgiving celebration that is coming up. We've got our Thanksgiving outreach tomorrow. We'll be going distributing, I believe it is nearly 30 complete Thanksgiving dinners that we'll be giving away this weekend, blessing families that might ordinarily not be able to provide for those for that celebration. But we want all of God's people to be thankful, and we're always excited for this outreach to see what God is able to do. But if you are not on that particular street that we're going to be reaching out to, you have an opportunity as well to celebrate Thanksgiving dinner with us. That's coming up Sunday at church. It'll be right after the service. We're going to be preaching the word. The word of God is our focus. That is the preeminent thing. So we focus on the word of God. And as that, when we're done, then we're going to have a celebration. We're going to have our kids come over. Towards the end of the service, we're going to have a time of praise and worship. It's going to be a really, really good celebration. The church provides the turkeys. We ask those who are going to come to bring a side dish, whether that's green beans, corn, stuffing, broccoli casserole, pecan pie. I was telling our congregation on Sunday that there's two things that I eat this time of year that I don't hardly eat any other time of the year, and that is a broccoli casserole that my wife makes. She learned how to make because she loves me. And then pecan pie. That's also another thing. And then there was some things that have been introduced to my palate through the Thanksgiving dinners over the years. And that is that there was a sweet potato casserole that a lady brought, and man, it was delicious. And it was one of those informative things for me because I really wasn't a big fan of sweet potatoes, but because I'm the pastor, everybody wants to know if I've tried their dish. And so when I go to these things, I get a little spoonful of everything. And I went back for another spoonful of that. It was just delicious. And so that became a favorite as well. If you would like to come and be a part of that celebration with us, come and be part of our Sunday morning service this coming Sunday morning, and we will share a meal together, break the bread of life, and it'll be a great time. During our Veterans Warrior Bible Outreach, I got a phone call from a person, and they asked for a Warrior's Bible. They're a veteran, served in Vietnam, I believe it was, and they are a part of Islander Alliance Church. They're on Merritt Island, and what they have is a ministry where they rebuild and provide electric scooters for people who may not be able to afford them. And so I have a phone number here for you. Pastor Tom at Islander Alliance Church, his phone number is 453-0770. 453-0770. I was told that the person that you needed to ask was for Pastor Tom, and if you are in need of an electric scooter, now this was a ministry that hit close to home for me because my mother requires a scooter to get around because of a surgical complication in her life many, many years ago. And so this was something that touched home for us. We had a scooter that someone had given to us, and we were just recently able to bless somebody with that. But if you have a need in your life I just wanted to mention this church to you, Islander Alliance Church, and you can contact them. You can get more information about it and see if we can't be a blessing to you through being a blessing, them being a blessing to you as well. So praise God. Let's get ready. We'll be moving on to Thanksgiving week next week. Always excited about that. We're in 2 Peter chapter 2. Again, I'll be reading verses 12 through 16. It says, "But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." I read a little bit further there, but I was on a roll and I didn't want to stop. So we're going to go back to verse number 15, because again, we're talking about people who are inside the church. They identify as the church, but their character does not match the Savior that gave his life for them. And so Peter is giving us instruction on how to recognize these people that God actually wants to deliver us from the result that is headed their way. He says that these have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, one of the favorite scriptures that people like to quote is the passage that Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always." What they take that scripture to mean is that Jesus is always going to be there, and he's going to be journeying with you and all of that. And I want you to know that that is partially true. It is true that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. But please do not mistake his presence for his endorsement of what you are participating in. It says in this passage that these are people who have forsaken the way, or forsaken the right way. They have forsaken God's way, and they have chosen a different path. In other words, Jesus has not forsaken or rejected them. They have forsaken, rejected, and abandoned him. And there is a huge difference there. Does God still love them? Does Jesus still love them? Absolutely. Does he endorse what they are participating in? No, he does not. And right now, there are denominations and churches all across the globe that are trying to reach people by accommodating their sinful practices and making it permissible and okay. Now, am I saying that I'm perfect? Absolutely not. Is anybody at Merit Assembly of God perfect? Absolutely not. Are we saying that that we make excuses for that? No. We preach repentance. We preach repentance, and that God wants to empower us to live in a manner. But what we do not do is we do not endorse sin that God has spoken in the scriptures that we should not do. And so these people have forsaken the narrow way, and they have pursued the broad path that leads to destruction. And that broad path is a well-traveled path. It's a popular path. But it does not end up at the destination that you think it is going to end up at. When I was a child, I really, really liked doing mazes. Those little paths, and you would take your pen and you would follow, and you would think you were headed the right direction, and all of a sudden you would either come to a dead end, or you would come to a path that would take you the opposite direction. Then you'd end up having to retrace all your steps until you found the right path. The scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so we don't want to be on the path that results in death. We want to be on the path that leads to life. So the best way to do that is not to forsake the path that God has given to us. It says that the Lord is our shepherd, that he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So one of the distinctions or marks of distinction that you will recognize on the path that you're on, whether it's the right path or the wrong path, whether it's God's path or a disastrous path, is who is receiving the glory for the path that you are on. Is Jesus receiving the glory, or are you receiving the glory? Because I've said it before, you don't want to touch the gold, the glory, or the girls. And if you're a lady, it's the gold, the glory, or the guys. You want to stay away from those traps. And so if we are doing it and God is the one receiving the glory, then that is the right path. But if we are doing it just because it is yielding fame or accolades for us, it is the wrong path, and it's going to have disastrous results. There's a scripture in the NIV, it says this: to the faithful you show yourself faithful, to the blameless you show yourself blameless, to the pure you show yourself pure, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. And when I began to study that verse, that revelation of God as shrewd is one who stands in the path opposing. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that, because it says that these people who have forsaken the right way and gone astray, that the path that they have resulted on or are now traveling on is the way that Balaam, the son of Beor, followed. And we find out about him all the way back in the book of Numbers. Balaam was an oracle, and God spoke through him, and you would think that that would be a good thing. And so whenever you find, and I will tell you this, every time you find Balaam mentioned in the New Testament, and there are several references there, you will never find him as a positive reference or a positive role model. You will always find him as somebody to avoid the mistakes that he made. So Balaam, the son of Beor, was sought out by Balak to curse the people of Israel as they were on their journey to the promised land. And Balak made an extremely enticing offer. He said, man, I'm going to make you rich. I am, if you will just come and curse this people for me, I'm going to just change your financial destiny forever. And so that was very, very exciting. But Balaam started off good, and he says, lodge here tonight and I will bring back, this is in Numbers chapter 22, verse number 8, and he said, lodge here tonight and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. And so as we're talking about this path that Balaam was on, we find out that he originally sets out and says, I'm only going to do the very thing that God tells me to do. And so in verse 13, he gets up. It says, so Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose and went back to Balak and told them what had happened. So then Balak sends more princes. And he says in verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. If I can just park there just a moment. Wow, what a statement. You would think that a man who just utters such a profound statement that of revelation, that would be a remarkable thing. I believe that is the best rule that we can live by, is that we appreciate the word of God to such an extent that we know that God is watching over his word to perform it. I'm going to be working on this study personally in 2016 on the power of the word of God. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Just a few of the scriptures is, you know, that God is watching over his word to see that it is performed. There's another one, and it says, cursed is the man who is lax in doing the word of the Lord. I don't want to bring a curse upon my life by being lax or lazy in doing what God has called me to do. And so Balaam says here, he says that I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. And it would be a really great thing if our politicians here in America would realize that there are constraints that we need to operate by, that we need to say, this is what it says that we can do. What has taken place in the last several years is we have taken old language, redefined the terms, and then retrofitted the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and all of that. We've retrofitted those things to now try and apply our new definitions to things that were referred to back then, and we have undermined the foundation of what those things were on. Well, I want you to know that when you do that, that it's not going to be too long until the spirit of lawlessness begins to operate and people no longer believe that they are restrained by very clear principles. Balaam said, I can't do anything more and I can't do anything less than the word that God gives to me. So again, here we start off well, but we're not going to finish well. And so I want to remind you that it is not how you start, it is how you finish. You and I, we need to continue to value the word of God and to do our best daily to fulfill that word in our life. When I first came to Florida, I will never forget the sectional meeting that I went to. We didn't have those in the district that I'd come from. I'd come from East Texas, and we didn't have these types of meetings, or at least I didn't get to go to them because I was working during the day. And this man said, what we have noticed is that if there's ever a minister who fails, it is because they have abandoned the word of God as their source of life, and now they are just studying it as a book to get their next sermon out of. In other words, they no longer treasure the word of God. I will never forget a sermon illustration that I heard about two pastors who had they pastored in the same town. They were of different denominations, and you know, sometimes that can be a little scary, but if you are dealing with mature brothers in Christ, you can realize that we are not in competition with one another, but we're in cooperation with one another, and we want the word of God to go forth. And so these two ministers, they took Sundays where one of them hosted the other one, and then they reversed roles, and the one pastor after they'd completed, they were sitting in the pastor's office and they were talking. He said, I want you to know that message that you preached at our church was an absolutely phenomenal message. And he said, was that the first time that you had ever preached that message? And he said, no, that is a message that I have preached probably close to 70 times. And the man said, well, that was amazing because you still had a passion for that word that was so captivating, and our congregation was just so blessed. How do you manage to preach a sermon that frequently and still maintain that level of passion and anointing, and you deliver it? And tears welled up in the pastor's eyes, and he looked across and he said, well, it's because I've never lost the wonder of that message. I've never lost the wonder of the Word of God. And, you know, I believe that some of the most difficult paths that we travel cause us to really develop an appreciation for the Word of God. Can I encourage you to do something? Again, most of you don't come to my church, so this is not self-serving for me. This is a service for the body of Christ. I've never been inside Islander Alliance Church, so what I said earlier, for those who need a scooter, or maybe if you've got a scooter you'd like to donate to them that they could refurbish and give to somebody else, that you can contact them at that number as well, 453-0770. Ask for Pastor Tom. But we're not in competition. We're in cooperation with one another. And we need to be blessing one another. And so I just don't want to lose the wonder of the message. So I was having a conversation. Oh, I know what I was going to say now. I was on multiple paths. But I want you to express thankfulness to God for your pastor. Again, I'm not getting anything out of this. None of them are sending me an offering or anything like that. I just want you to know your pastors are pouring out the word that God has given to them. And most of them, you know, there are some really large churches. Thank God for the really large churches. And there are some really small churches, and thank God for the really small churches. But they're all ministering to the body of Christ. And you may never know what they're going through. I can tell you this, nine to five is not generally on the calendar. I got a phone call from an evangelist or missionary evangelist not too long ago, and I was actually teaching in Fiji at the time via the computer, and so after I got done, I called him back, and his message said this: I know that you're one of those pastors that gets to work 9 to 5 and then you go home and all of that sort of stuff. And I responded to him and said, I know not this 9 to 5 shift of which you speak. That's the reality, you know, that, whenever there's a person that needs to talk, we're available. People can reach me almost 24 hours a day if they need to from my church, and I will pour into them the words of life. Balaam said, you know, I cannot go beyond this word, more or less, that what God has said to me. And so he goes back and he talks to God, and God tells him to go with the men, but only say the words which I speak to you. And so Balaam is going back, and I don't really know what was going on in Balaam's heart. It doesn't really say, but whatever was going on in his heart was obviously displeasing to God, because the angel of the Lord stood in his path to oppose him. And so I want you to see once again that when you and I are not on the right path, even though God is for us, not against us, when we are on the wrong path, thank God he is against us. Thank God he is not behind us, pushing us further down the path of destruction. Instead, he is standing in the way. He is opposing us. And when I preach that message, it's in 2 Samuel And also in Psalm 18, I believe it is, that God, to the pure, he shows himself pure, but to the crooked, he shows himself shrewd. It literally means that he is standing in the path. He is standing there opposing us every step of the way. And what I share in the message when I've preached that is this: if you are on the path that's leading to hell, and if you don't get off of that path, you are not going to end up in heaven. You are going to end up in a godless eternity, surrounded by pain and misery and agony and demons and all sorts of stuff you don't want to have any part of. Hell is not a party. I don't care what they have to say. It is not a party. It is a place of misery. And God says the only way that you get there is over the dead body of Jesus Christ, over the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, that he is saying, oh, the only way you're getting there is over my dead body. And so the angel of the Lord came and stood and opposed Balaam. And so I've got a question for you. And that is this: where does God stand in your life? Where does he stand? Does he stand as an authority, one that has the ability to speak words of correction and words of restraint in your life? Or do you only listen if he is speaking words that you want to hear? You see, the spirit of Balaam wants to curse what God has blessed. The spirit of Balaam wants to curse what God has blessed. God is looking for a people who will see what the Father is doing, and they will do that. That will hear what the Father is saying, and that is what they will speak. You see, Balaam didn't recognize that the angel of the Lord was standing in opposition to him. And so in 2 Peter chapter 2, where we've been, it says that God equipped a donkey to speak with a man's voice, and when that donkey spoke, it rebuked him. Now, the thing I really find fascinating about that story is that when the donkey speaks, Balaam answers like it's just a normal conversation. It never dawns on him, hey, that donkey is talking, you know, and that was long before Mr. Ed. But that donkey, when he spoke, it said he restrained the madness of the prophet. And I pray today that God would speak to all of us in such a way that it would restrain us from wickedness, restrain us from disobedience and cursing, and instead that it would propel us on the path of righteousness, that we would bless what God has blessed, that we would curse what God has cursed, and we would not go beyond the word of the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.